Welcome, everyone. My name is Marina Phil and I'm your host for the podcast, What Would You Do Differently? A podcast that allows experienced business leaders with 10 or plus years of experience in the workforce to share a story or a moment from their career, which when given the opportunity, they look back on and go, yeah, I probably would have done that differently. Joining me today is the award-winning journalist who will be scrutinizing my every move, and I'm already intimidated. The amazing Kelly Nestor, who is now a media and communications expert available for done for hire as well. But apart from that, it's also a really cool person to have lunch and have a laugh with if you ever get a chance to.
Oh, so that's welcome. Such a lovely thing to say. Thank you so much. Well, it's my pleasure to be here. And yes, it's so wonderful to be invited. So thanks for having me. And
you're
engaging person to have lunch with today. So, it's wonderful to be here for a chat. And what a question. I mean, seriously, if we could have a TARDIS and go forward and backwards in time, wouldn't that just be the ticket? I mean, really, you know, being posed this question is really such a heavy one. And I must say, just with the passing of International Women's Day, I've got this overwhelming feeling, and I don't want to bring it all down, but I just...
No, you can go down. I'll tell you. A few people have said this one day.
I just want to put it out there that any woman that thinks you can have it all in, you know, 2024 and beyond is kidding themselves, because it just does not exist. And younger women today who think that they can, it's a lie. It's a fallacy. It does not exist. So... Look, I think that there's certain times in your career that, and you could say this too, Marina, that you see the sliding moment where you could either go at the fork in the road, whether you can go down that way or that way. And really, I'm 55 and I think I've had three pivotal moments in my career where the fork in the road came. And as I say in my industry, I'm from the, I suppose, the TV showbiz land. You either want and know in your heart of hearts that you're going to be off Broadway or on Broadway. Now, what does success look like for you? That's the question. Now, living and breathing off Broadway, is that enough for you? And being in that world, knowing fully well you're never going to be on Broadway, will that be enough for you to be that person? Because when you're off Broadway, there's not so much pressure, there's not as much money, but you could potentially have most of the things that you want. And that may include family, a husband, a partner, a purple people eater, whatever it is.
A dog.
Whatever it is that fills your bucket, okay? But that's possible in the land of off-Broadway. But in your heart of hearts, if you are over here, in off-Broadway and cannot look at yourself in the mirror, knowing fully well that you never tried to go on Broadway, then that sucks, right? Then that really sucks. And on Broadway, you can't have it all because it's a focus that requires something else, and it requires a tenacity, something that sometimes we don't like about ourselves. There are others that it becomes this. There's games and there's things that are really not nice that you don't see in the off-Broadway world, but you have to become really attuned to survive in the on-Broadway and be successful on Broadway to keep going, to survive on Broadway and be, I suppose, a veteran there. But the thing that... is interesting about this analogy is that for people who may be listening to this podcast in Adelaide, I'm sorry to say this, and this is the hard truth from somebody that's been all over the world and working. Is that it's not, this is off-Broadway, people, here. We are off-Broadway. Now, as much as people can talk about AUKUS, the space industry, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're from the Shaheen family or you're from Thomas Foods or you're from, you know, the sweat empire, that may be different for you if you're an entrepreneur. But if you've got the desire that you want to be somebody that is on Broadway, get the next train, plane, automobile, and go over the border because it's not happening here.
Yeah. I think it's, I love this analogy. I actually feel a bit emotional as you're talking, which is quite funny for me. I get emotional about anything. But this analogy of off and on Broadway is so important, like to be able to, you know, accept, go off Broadway. I love that. Have the family, have the mortgage, but don't stress yourself out or fool yourself that you're on Broadway.
No. And I think that the way in which we sort of kid ourselves here in Adelaide, you know, I was listening to, there was something about Eddie Maguire finally giving us a little pat on the back the other day, saying, isn't Adelaide such a lovely place to go these days? You know, very passionate.
Yeah.
After all these years of putting Adelaide down. Well, it's Adelaide's, for people that live in the East Coast, like the Eddie Maguires, Adelaide's lovely to go for a holiday destination, to go to the Barossa Valley, to go to the Clare Valley, to go somewhere. It's like going to Kangaroo Island to visit something and then you leave. Or what you've got to decide, I think, is that what I said from the outset was, what does success look like for you? So throw it back at me. With the fork in the road, fork in the road for me was coming back to Adelaide, invited on the death of Kevin Kreese to be the anchor for Channel 9, which I thought was the biggest honour to be given to host and anchor the 6 o'clock news for Channel 9, which was an incredible honour. And I'd watched this, you know, this legend of TV, this veteran and one and only, the first person on South Australian television, Kevin Kreese. And so I've watched him have this incredible life, watching him grow old on TV, thinking that could be me. So they've allowed him to start and then die on TV. So the next person will be allowed to die on TV. What I was thinking there. But there's one thing that I don't have between my legs. So that was the reason I'm not still there today. So it's really the fork in the road was actually coming back. That was the fork, because I was living and working in Sydney and working on Sky News, having a wow of a time, really fulfilled, incredibly challenged in a role that I was working on a national program. And look, Sky's gone in a very different way nowadays. I don't know whether I would have stayed, but who knows? Yeah. You're in the cut and thrust of national news. So look, things would have changed for me, but the choice in coming back to Adelaide wasn't for necessarily the role. I made the choice wholly and solely on my biological clock, and it was to have children, because I knew that in Sydney I was never going to get that opportunity, because I looked left, I looked right, I saw Sandra Sully, childless. I looked right and there was Tracy Grimshaw, childless. And all around me were women that I knew that if they'd made the decision to stay in their jobs, they couldn't have a family. And you've got to remember, at my generation, that to be at the top of your game, women just did not have children. They either, and then you've got the Prime Minister, who's also making a decision at the time, you know, Julia Gillard, that, you know, it was about, you know, she'd made a conscious choice that it was about her career. Now, I'm not missing women that decide not to have children. I'm just I'm just saying that it is a choice, and I'm just saying that you can't have it all.
You
can't. It does not exist.
I remember someone said to me once, women need, like, you know, maybe not now, but certainly our generation can do anything. They can do anything, but they can't have it all. And I was like, oh, that should be a T-shirt or something. I wish someone had told me that when I was flogging myself, running between, like, exec meetings and picking up kids, you know, like trying to, I wish it's just been a little bit more clear of the consequences of some of this stuff. Because you do, you just think you can have it all, but you can do anything, but you can't have it all. Yeah.
No, but I suppose, you know, nowadays, now that I'm, I suppose, more mellow and I do, you know,
mellow is not a word.
Podcast, you know, would I give up the chances to be, you know, at the inauguration of Barack Obama? Would I give up meeting, you know, President Mandela? Would I give up, you know, being there at the death of Princess Diana in the UK? Would I give up all these amazing opportunities that I've had in my life, which is just, you know, and as I said to you, I pinch myself and I think, was that actually me? I feel like I've watched a movie. But because there was the other fork in the road was actually leaving Adelaide in the first place. Because if I had not, I would have stayed and I would have remained the ABC newsreader on the 7 o'clock news. And quite possibly I would still be doing that job.
Yeah. To this day.
Something that I would really love to be doing now. But but how do I colour in the in-between part? And that would be with children and a family, and you'd colour it in, but you'd have to be happy in your heart that you gave up all these other things.
So are you saying, because you're definitely an on-Broadway type of gal, like, well, that was your trajectory.
I think that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, could I have given it up? Because there was an opportunity not to go. There was an opportunity to stay. But, of course, I saw the bright, shiny lights and I was off like a flash. But I had that opportunity in the very beginning not to go. So they're the two forks, really, the two major forks that I would say career-wise.
So if you had your time again, you know, that choice to go to the big shiny lights, would you have done it? What would you have done differently?
I think because I'm making the choice around the partner I had at the time. I lament the partnership, the loss of that, and, you know, what could have been. It's more around the whole package. And do you know what I mean? It's about that whole
sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice something.
Because now I find myself as a single mother doing it tough, you know, with a dog and two you know, teenage boys, and it's hard, you know. And I look around me and I, you know, there's hardly anyone like me at 55 doing this. They're partnered and they're familyed and there's, you know, there's extended family, there's help everywhere. So that could have been me. So that's what I'm saying. Mm. Be careful in your choices. Be really careful about what success looks like for you. Because if success looks like the family in the picture on top of the mantelpiece, then on Broadway isn't for you. So be really careful when that call comes on the, you know, hey, do you want to come and be the star in the show?
Yeah.
Be careful. Is that what you really want? Because there's a big cost at the end of it, really, because it doesn't always come with the whole package. It doesn't. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people fool themselves that they can have it all. And I think one thing you said about on Broadway is it's such a different game. The politics, the competition, the aggression, you know, all of that. Because that's what it is. You're in the fast lane. It's like go, go, go type of thing. Yeah. And you don't get mentored or, you know, sort of help.
No, people don't know. I don't know, because it's all.
Yeah, they know that. And then you suddenly find yourself in there, particularly if you have come from a provincial town like Adelaide, and you suddenly go, yes. What the hell?
Yes.
And you're just completely savaged.
And sabotaged often.
Yeah. Because you just don't know.
Hokey from the dokey, or whatever you say. You know, it's just, and it's coming at you from every which way. So.
I know this is your chance, chap. I think you've got for you, you're on Broadway. You've made a family choice to go off Broadway. A part of that friction is trying to take this bigness, this dream, this everything, and then, you know, finding a comfortable space that makes you feel okay without that, you know, that pull. Because I think that pull is almost soulful, you know. It's almost like you to be that big amazingness and all that, you know, that world, which is just so natural for you, you know. It's natural.
Yeah. And look, a lot of people say to me, and I'll be honest with you, it was just yesterday, and this happens to me all the time, people ask me to go and work interstate full time. They want me back in either a Melbourne or a Sydney, because that's where I belong. They tell me it'll be for doing a national program of some sort. And look, those offers have come regularly. But I'm in a divorce situation in a very aggressively, it's not a pleasant place.
It's sorry. A process. Yeah. I'm
struggling to find the words. So, you know, I cannot take my children out of the state. So it's I'm landlocked. I feel, and I suppose I'm particularly aggrieved because I'm limited here. I don't have opportunity, and I struggle. I'm in a box, and I can't get out because of the limited opportunity here. But I'm also I'm chained to children, so. I'm serious.
I know.
And while they're little, like I've still got, you know, they're still tweens. I'm not going anywhere, am I? I'm not going anywhere.
You know, I'm so glad you're talking about this because I myself made a decision to stay in Adelaide as the children grew. And all of that, and I have felt horrendously guilty because I get it the same, different to you, but when they go, are you from Adelaide? And I go, yeah, I made a choice. I made a choice for my family. But I think it's like BDE. And it's hard when you've got BDE and you're going, but I'm just hanging out until the day I can do something else. But then life and time kicks on and you suddenly, I'm not sure about you, I've had moments where I've gone, I'm so glad I didn't go on Broadway on some stuff. I got to see I got to take my son to school and I got to do all these other cool stuff.
Oh, look, I pinch myself when I get to be in those moments and you're at the school play or you're making the sandwiches in the canteen or you're, you know, and you just think, wow, this is actually... Yeah. Remember that choice that you wanted these little things so badly that you did everything to go over that blue mountain and over back to the Adelaide Plains for some sperm.
Yeah.
But it's as plain as that. I did it twice.
Yeah. I love this. I really love this little chat. We're going to run out of time, but I this is probably one of the bravest ones that I've heard. Where you actually just saying it as it is, but you picked up on that theme on and off Broadway. I love that, but also the often unfulfilled feeling that we get in our careers when we make choices with our family. Not everyone wants to stay home all the time. Lots of us are very ambitious, and I think we came from an era where ambition wasn't necessarily supported in women. It was seen as a bit of an ugly attribute, my friend.
We can do this often and much. So
let's do this again. You can interview me and show me how it's done. All right.
Chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6.
Great. On that note, I just want to say a big thank you to the amazing, brave, honest Kelly BDE Nester. I look forward to seeing you again. And thank you for sharing what you would do differently on and off Broadway.
Bye.